That's not what I had to say. Sorry about that, guys. You get to listen to me today. That's kind of fun. I am super excited to be here and to share with you today. You know what? I'm going to pray. I know we just prayed, but I'm going to pray again just before we get going here. Let's pray together. God, I just pray that, first of all, God, thank you for this community. Thank you for this community that we have here, God. Thank you that we get to pursue you too, God, the one that we love, God. And Father, I just pray that just as I speak today, God, that it will be just a blessing to you, God, that the parts that, you know, stick with us, I pray that they will stick and will take home, God. And if there's things that I say and, you know, they're off base, God, I just pray that those things will fall away, God. I just pray for, I just say thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I brought with me today a coin. I brought $2, okay? I have some really hard questions for you guys. I don't know if you're going to be able to handle these ones. How many sides are on a coin? Three. Okay, so we already have some trouble. Okay, how many sides are on a coin? Two. Thank you. Oh, you guys are just like the youth group, right? Instantly, like, yeah. Getting those funny answers in. Okay, so now, which side on the coin has more value? Okay, so like, if I was going to take this coin and like take it to a cashier, slide across the table to him with like tails facing up, does it have like more value than if I flip the coin and pass it to him the other way? So what we're saying today is I have a coin that has two sides of equal value. Okay, I'm going to work with that today, and I'm going to speak on a subject that has like two sides, just like a coin, that have equal value, but are intricately connected. Okay, and the first side, we can call this, if you want, tails, okay? We're going to talk about this, okay? Like the church, okay? We're going to talk about the church because the church is a beautiful thing, right? We are the church. We are a beautiful chosen thing, and I hope we understand that the church is not like this. Like, it's not the building. It's this, right? So, like, if this church, you know, as nice as it is, like, was reduced to rubble, like, we're still the church, right? Okay, so the church is this body of Christ, right? A beautiful actions of believers gathering together with one in mind. For the one, right? We're gathering for the one, for God. And it's not just us, right? We are the church. We're connected to something bigger, right? Like whether you want to connect that to BIC, like the denomination we're under, Be in Christ, like there's churches all over the place. But even beyond that, right? Like all the different churches, like a Good Friday, we spent Good Friday with the Anglican Church and the Presbyterian Church in town. So we're part of like a bigger thing, right? And tons of different church denominations, not just those ones, you know, whether it is Anglican or Pentecostal or Baptist or whether you agree with everything that some churches say or not. Like I personally come from a mutt of backgrounds myself where, you know, it's like I come from like, I grew up in the mega Pentecostal world, but I went to small non-denominational churches. I did the Baptist church thing. I've done the, what else have I done? Free Methodist. I go to an Anglican school now. Like, it's just, but, so I'm part of that, and I can see, like, there's this global phenomenon that we're part of as the church. Like, we're part of something bigger. We're part of something bigger. Because Christ is going to come back one day for his bride. And do I dare say, like, he's not coming back for a harem, right? Like, he's not coming back for a bunch of brides. He's coming back for a bride, right? And he's coming back for his church. And we're part of that locally, okay? So we gather as a group of individuals with a common purpose. And not just on Sundays. Like, we gather for the one. Where there's a belonging. There's an integrity in relationships and mutual accountability in an atmosphere of grace and love and acceptance, even in our differences, right? As we pursue the one. So just to kind of drive that home, I'll give you just one verse, and this is from Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. This is not going to be like a shame thing of like, go to church today, okay? I don't want it to be that at all. This is I just want to read that last verse again. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching, okay? So that's side one of the coin. Side two is our intimate personal journey with God, which has so much importance and value, right? Our prayer life, our daily journey with God, the way we go to God when things are easy or things are hard, right? Like, say, like maybe sometimes we go to God a little bit more when things are hard. I don't know. The way that we choose God, though, like we choose God, like in spite of a ton of other distractions that are out there, even before we wake up in the morning, right? Whether that is like our family, our phone, our like whatever it is, right? Distracting thoughts that are in our head, just breakfast, you know, whatever it is. And we choose God and we can dive into the mystery and the wonder, right? The mystery and the wonder of a living, breathing, active God. A living, breathing, active God. And who has our best intentions at heart. And he's still kind of this mystery, right? Like we don't fully have them all figured out. But that's the intimate personal relationship, like with our creator, God, right? Like even, and just to drive this one home, like a verse, like Jesus himself, who was God, in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, right? So even Jesus gave us the example of this, right? God himself. So we have these two sides of the same coin. The gathering of us, like the believers, the church, and then the other side, the daily walk with God. But lately, I've really been thinking about depth. How the church impacts our lives, and the depth that like a personal relationship with God drives our lives. Like Hebrews 11:16, it says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? And if we're going to take God at his word on that, that's pretty powerful. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And I kind of believe that the reward is himself, right? He is the reward. He is the pearl of great value, as it says in Matthew 13. Like he rewards us with himself when we pursue. As in like James 4:8, you know, draw near to God and he will draw near to us. So this is kind of where I'm going today is there's, some of this might feel a little bit obvious up to this point. You might be like, okay, well, yeah, it's good to go to church and yeah, it's good to have a personal relationship with God. But the thing is, I think we can at times in our lives value and prioritize them differently. We can value and prioritize them differently. Sometimes we value our personal relationship with God, but for like any number of reasons, the regular gathering with others to encourage each other in our faith kind of falls to the wayside, right? Or we're disinterested or disconnected when we arrive. On the other hand, some of us may come to church and think maybe we've had a time in this where we think that's enough sustenance, right? Even if we come to church, like sometimes we even come to church thinking it's like a personal thing. I'm just gonna like hide in the corner, have a personal time with God, and that'll be my one thing for the week. And maybe we neglect or undervalue the community here, and then, but also maybe at home, like personal routines of daily relationship with God outside of that. So our personal relationship in church, I think, are so intricately connected. So they both need to find weight in our lives, right? Not be thrown off balance. And I think of like, I know when I say watch a TV show and I find out other people have watched that same TV show. Have you guys ever had this before? And you like have that conversation and you're like, oh, like I remember this part when this happened. You have this like depth of conversation, this depth of knowing something together, right? And you get to kind of share that together. right? Letitia and I, like, we've been watching The Mandalorian on Disney. And so, you know, we keep saying, like, this is the way, because that's what they say in the show, right? So, you know, when chores have to be done at home, this is the way, right? Whatever it is, right? So, but we have this, like, this shared thing, and we can talk to other people about that. Maybe there's other things where we've gone to, like, a same restaurant or a same travel experience, or if we want to get more real, like, some of the same obstacles we've had in our life, right? And we want to, and it's neat, like, the depth that we can have when we've experienced something and then come together and can reflect on that. And at the same time, we can go and we can have a moment together. Like, I also like watching TV with my wife, right? So so I like that moment. Like, I'm not I know some people like to watch TV by themselves. I'm not that person. But there's, you know, the thing of, like, being able to laugh at the same moments and experience the same things, I think is also really powerful. But in the same way, the more we pursue a relationship with God throughout the week, I think it can affect the richness of the time we have when we gather. So, like, forget about Sundays. Like, you know, churches, like, other times you gather too, right? Whether that is small groups, Bible studies, meeting up with somebody, you know, over a warm drink, or going for a walk with someone, talking to somebody on the phone, right? All this stuff, right? Having that some type of gathering. I don't think it just benefits you when you have those personal times. It actually can benefit others, right? Because there's this depth that we kind of are drawing from. And I think there's even a deeper level we can go into a gathering. So, for example, like this, right? Where, what happens if we were, say, vulnerable with each other? You know, like a little bit more vulnerable about what's going on in our lives, right? Because, you know, even talked about specifically, like, our times with God. You know, get past, like, the simple Sunday pleasantries. You know, like, you know, instead of being like, okay, well, you know, the weather is nice or bad today. You know, if we got into, like, big questions, like, what if we actually asked each other, like, how was your time with God this week? And that's a scary thing. But imagine the power that could happen through that. And even if it's negative, right? Because maybe somebody will ask, like, you'll get asked, and they'll say, hey, how was your week? And you're like, it really sucked. Thank you for asking, right? But, you know, at the same time, it's real, right? It's real. It has a depth to it. And then maybe that gives a chance to, like, encourage and pray for each other, right? And then on the other hand, maybe somebody had a really great week. And it's like, you won't believe what God, like, told me this week and things like that. And that becomes not to brag, but to encourage and say, like, hey, that happened to me, which means I think that can happen to you too, right? Yeah, so encourage each other in our journey with God is so important. For the journey is so important, and we don't have to travel alone. So, like, Psalm 1 came to mind as I was just kind of working through this. Psalm 1 says, starting at verse 2, but who delights in God, right? He meditates on him day and night. It's like a person planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season, right? That depth of actually having that time with God. And our daily submission and obedience to God in pursuing intimacy with God, which is a scary word and maybe confusing, but like a real relationship where he knows you and you share deep things with him, with God, right? And maybe he shares deep things with you, and then you let him draw near to us, and then we grow and we get to know him and get to really know him, right? Like, not just know him like we would know some celebrity on the news, right? But somebody we would know as, like how we know the person who's, like, next to us, or a spouse or a friend or a sibling, right? And I think when we do that, we spend time in a group like this, then it becomes less weird. It becomes less foreign. It's not like God's not here. It doesn't put pressure on Sunday mornings to be some kind of performance that, like, ramps us up to speed until our next, like, week in our spiritual journeys. It takes the pressure off, like, the pastor, really, to be good. Like, there's celebrity pastors out there. Like, some people, like, put their how they feel based on how that celebrity pastor is feeling, right? Which isn't healthy. It also takes away from the church becoming, like, boring and impersonal when we take that depth to our own lives. And Maybe even if we get into these kind of situations, we get past the spot of just seeking knowledge, right? And maybe that's in our personal walk with God too, where it's like, okay, I'm just going to take as much information and shove it in my head. It reminds me of like, I love honey Dijon kettle chips, okay? And like, you put those in front of me, they're gone. Like, I'm just going to keep shoving them in, not even noticing that I'm shoving them in, right? And that's like, you know, sometimes I feel like what we do with knowledge is we just try to shove knowledge in, and we forget to embrace it, actually, that there's a living, breathing God that's there, that's here, right? And what if we walked away from church instead of being like, oh, church was good today because maybe I learned a new Hebrew word or something like that, and got past that? Knowledge is great, by the way. Like, learning stuff is great. But what if we went to church and sought God with others and encouraged others? If that was the thing that we left with, right? Like, I went to church and sought God with others and was encouraged and encouraged others. Like, what if that was church, right? It's rich. We spur one another on towards love and good deeds, encouraging from a known strength, like not some foreign concept. Right? Where we get together too, and, you know, even thinking through like some of the prayers we had this morning, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all of them will take care of each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part shares in its joy. There's like a shared life piece to that as well. But I think of our depth of meeting with God on our own helps us build this, right? It helps build the gatherings. But on the other hand, meeting together is essential for this reason too. Because one side of the coin is the richness of our personal walks affecting like this. But on the other side of the coin is the richness of the church, the gathering, to our personal walk. Like, because some of us just aren't always there. Like, maybe we came to church and we're just not there this week. We're just not. Maybe we're even just exploring God. Maybe we're mad at God, right? There's a whole different bunch of things. But we can come and we can be encouraged, right? Maybe we just have not had time or just kind of forgot about God this week. But maybe we get encouraged from other people's depth, right? What if we got encouraged from other people's depth? Like, we look at that and we go, I want that. So we need to walk together at all times, but not only that, but there are actually links to Scripture of God, of God's presence in the gathering of believers, right? Like, there's something powerful when we meet together. Like, when you look at Ephesians 2, they actually calls the church, first of all, citizens, which is kind of cool. Like, okay, we're citizens. But as well, it talks about us being like family members. But then it goes on and it goes further and it actually calls us like the temple of God, right? Where he will dwell. And it calls us kind of like the bricks to the temple, right? So if we're like, one brick doesn't make up a temple, right? Like it's us together, you know, where God, there's the presence of God in community. Like, even think of like Matthew 18:20, where it says, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So I'm just trying to drive the point that there's two sides to this, right? There's two sides. It's not just like a relationship with God is not just meeting with people and it's not just being on your own. It's kind of both, right? And they both kind of work together to encourage the other one along. Almost like when you pedal a bike, right? Like, you know, has anyone tried pedaling a bike with one pedal before or just one? Like, you know, like, it doesn't work very well, right? I mean, so you need to get that thing going, right? So like, gathering together, like seeking God, you know, in the quiet places. Gathering together, seeking God in the quiet places, like kind of pedaling a bike, doing both of those things. And sometimes we need that first push, right, on a bike. Sometimes we need that first push. And maybe that's just making a choice, right? Maybe you just need me to push you today to do that. Here's a push, okay? But as well, maybe it's, you know, deciding to meet with others. Maybe you know someone who needs a push, or you think, you know, just, and maybe it's just asking them, like, how are you doing? And we push and push and we gain momentum. And then maybe one day we'll stop, right? But we get back on the bike and we keep building good habits, right? Of gathering together and having those personal times with God. And just imagine if we took that home, right? If we took that home, like, what happens if we like took that intimacy and that relationship with God, and we grew in that depth, and we're taking that to the places that are hardest, right? Like whether that is like our neighbors or our kids or our siblings or our parents or, you know, whoever it is. I think that depth ends up like affecting others around us as well as we seek. So I truly believe that like if we seek God together, if we make sure that we are seeking God together and making sure that we are spending time with God, right? That, like as Psalm 27 says, like there will be goodness in the land of the living, right? I think that, no, like 2 Corinthians 2:9, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, that stuff we might see it, right? and so let's encourage each other. Let's spur each other on. When we come to church, when we come to gatherings, when you go to a Bible study, if you're just meeting with a friend, encourage each other. Ask the hard questions. See if you can find some depth in that too. Okay. So I am going to finish off with just kind of like a 5 take it home point type thing. And Joe, you got that ready? Okay, the first one is a simple one. Just take it and go. Like if you got something out of this today where you're thinking, oh, like that, there's something I can do about this in my life. Do not leave today and do nothing. Right? Take this and as a reminder and remember it. Okay, number 2, make daily habits. If you don't know where to start, like maybe it's just like picking a book of the Bible and reading a chapter of the day and talk to God and thank him, right? If you need help getting started in this part of things, of making daily habits, this is what the church is for. This is what church leadership is for. Talk to someone. Someone will help you get started there, right? And remember, don't just seek knowledge. Talk and wait and listen to God. See if he speaks like in so many ways, right? Including through scripture. Remember, our faith is based on a living, breathing, speaking God. Okay, number 3. Make meeting routines. So make meeting with other believers a routine and priority, whether that is church or somewhere else, right? Whether that is Sunday or Bible study or an intentional visit with people who can spur you forward. Make that a regular routine. Okay, next. Extend the invitation. Invite others to find this. Don't be exclusive and don't be shy. Step out. People around you might not have that invitation yet, and all they just need is somebody to go and ask. And 5th, be open and this one's hard. So be authentically vulnerable. Share where you're at and ask others. It's a scary place to be. It's not easy. But if we do this, I think there's a chance that we can find some real extra depth that we can be encouraged in if we're willing to go there. And I have found historically that if I'm vulnerable about, you know, what I'm going through or like just open, then it kind of spurs that on to other people. So if I start talking, I find that other people, it's not a guarantee, but a lot of people will open up back, right? So that's your 5 take it homes. And so I am going to pray, and then we're going to finish off with a song. Dear God, thank you for today, God. I just pray that, God, we will take this stuff and remember you, God, in our daily practice. Make you a daily practice, God, where we just practice your presence, practice having you close to us, God, because we know that you are speaking, that you're close to us, and that you love us, God. And Father, help us to not forget seeking this with others. So God, I just pray that you help us grow in depth, in knowing you, God, in new ways. And just, God, help us and give us grace as we learn to do this together. In Jesus' name, amen.